Guys, welcome to The Pulse. We are excited to get things started again today, as we always do, with people who are making a difference, have careers, success, inspiring people, and Mr. Glenn Turman. I was talking about Emmy Award, NAACP Award. I don't have enough time to list all the shows and movies in Broadway, all those things you've been in. Thank you for taking time with us.
Thank you for having me.
It's a long list. I mean, we're going to be real. I'm looking through. It's a long list of things that you've been doing throughout your career.
Well, you know, I've been at it a long time. And I don't know if that's because I don't have enough sense to get out of it and leave it. But I've been doing it, of course, since I was a youngster, and I just still enjoy it. So, and people still seem to find some value in watching me. So here I am.
It's interesting you mentioned, obviously, youngster. And that was an interesting story, because you got into it as a child, but got into it, you know, with some of the greats and the legends and making history very earlier in your career. Tell us that story.
Well, it's, you know, starting at the top, you know, which old folks used to call it picking in high cotton. You know, we started with Sidney Poitier and Ruby Dee, Lou Gossett Jr., Lloyd Richards, the great director, you know, and of course at the helm of all that was the wonderful legendary Lorraine Hansberry, writing a play called The Raisin in the Sun, which was the first Broadway drama written and produced and directed and starring and everything by people of color, you know, back in the 50s. So that's where I was, a part of that entourage.
And you were, I mean, you were clearly a child then. Did you have any concept as a child in that room what was going on?
As a 12-year-old, I didn't care what was going on. All I wanted to do was go play baseball, you know. I wanted to take my lines, get off the stage, go hang out with the guys on Saturday afternoon and play baseball. And they're talking about a matinee. I got to work. You know, what are you talking about? But so it was really kind of that audacious naivete that surrounded me. And later in years, it became my life, you know.
And that's it's a true story then, that it, what was it, your mother who said, you should go audition for this? You were not a huge fan of school, so let me go ahead and act.
Right, something like that. My mother and Lorraine Hansberry were very close in the village, Greenwich Village back in the day. And so we were all neighbors, and she, along with James Baldwin and several others, were part of my mother's collection of friends. And so that's the atmosphere I grew up in.
It is always, I say this a lot on this show, it's always amazing to me how nonchalant and casual people who have participated in history just kind of throw it out there. Yeah, you know, James Baldwin, Lorraine Hansberry, we me and moms and them, you know, we're just hanging out.
Yeah, well, what can I say? That was the world, you know. And you're right. When I think about it, you know, and try and distance myself from it, I realize, you know, it is a realization that these were some of the greatest people of our time, you know. But while in it and growing, being a part of it, it's just that, you know, the only thing I wanted to know from Mr. Baldwin was, could he give me a quarter so I could go down here and get this ice cream cone, you know?
So. All right. So humble beginnings to the career that ended up going on for, still going on, you know, 50 plus years. So Raising the Sun as a child, and you just knew, you know, I'm acting, I'm having some fun. When did it become serious? I mean, I think a lot of us, you know, can go remember Cooley High as like history, or maybe the movie, maybe the songs, you know, what have you. When did it become a career thing for you? I think we froze up a little bit. Did you hear my question?
Well, it became
I'm sorry, yes. Go ahead.
Yes, it became serious for me when I got to the High School of Performing Arts. And I talk about all of this in my documentary, The Legend of Glenn Turman, which was just released yesterday.
Yes,
I
sir.
I don't know when this will air, but this is just in release now. It became serious for me in my junior year in high school, the High School of Performing Arts, I think it's now called LaGuardia. But that was a place where I did well after having been a chronic truant in junior high school and not a good student at all, destined for trouble. But this school presented a curriculum that I was able to accelerate in. And that was being a major in acting, you know. So as an acting major, I did very, very well and started getting A's. And I'd never, ever done that in school before. And my mother, I took an A to home for the first time to mom and said, look, Mom, I got an A. And she said, I've been trying to tell you. So I said, okay, well, I guess maybe I'll try this acting thing. And that's when it became serious for me.
You started, and we were kind of walking through the steps to get to the release of the documentary, because it tells the whole story. But yeah. We're there. Why? Why did you decide that this was something that you wanted to do and kind of share this story? And there's so much history, but why tell it?
Well, you know, my producing partner and director, Junie Smith, was actually the one who convinced me to do this. And he convinced me by saying, Glenn, you know, it's time to leave a legacy for your kids and your grandkids. And you're healthy and able and of sound mind and able to, and we have the wherewithal for you to tell it the way you want them to hear it, you know. And so sort of from the horse's mouth, I'm able to leave this story for my family and for my fans, of course, and you know, those who have any interest. But mainly it was a dedication to my mother and to my children, you know. And so I've left my story for them, and hopefully somebody else will go along for the ride.
I'm sure a lot of people are going to go along for the ride. But as I started spouting out all of the different things that you've done, did you ever before this have the time? Because I'd imagine that doing The Legend of Glenn Turman kind of made you sit back and you talk about it and you reflect on it. Did you ever before this sit back and go, wow, like I've done a lot. Look at me. Look at all the things I'm doing.
Well, I still threaten to finish the book that I started some years ago. And I don't know if that book will ever get finished, you know. But I did a one-man show, a play called Moving Man, about 12, 15 years ago that I took on the road, that were excerpts from the book. And then I kind of set it down. And now I've sort of picked up a second kind of chapter of the book, storytelling, and made a documentary, as opposed to getting back to writing the book. I guess I'm doing everything I can to work around finishing this book. You know, I don't know why I'm not finishing this book. I'm doing everything else but the book. But the documentary has come ahead of the book, and maybe the book will come at some time.
Listen, for people like me who are into the visual medium and don't always have the longest attention span, I thank you for the documentary. Like, I think that is something for those of us who want the whole story, and we will wait for the book. It's just out now. The documentary is just out now. So,
just came out, right? Yes, just came out.
Is it too early? I mean, I'm sure your friends and family and people like that have had the opportunity to see it. What's their response been? Because even as I was doing research into your career, I told you, I kept going, wow, okay, yeah. Like, what's the response been like?
Well, you know, I had a take with a granddaughter who saw it. She wasn't able to attend a screening, but she just saw the release yesterday and wrote me some wonderful things, and really moved me because it let me know that the documentary and what I had to say reached my target audience, which were my family, you know, and my kids. And, you know, just let me just say, she says, this is a powerful testament to the relationships and the interconnectedness of genuinely formed friendships and fellow schoolmates, family, and friends. I really enjoyed it, Papa, and hope to live my life with as much humility, gratitude, and shine as you continue to do today. Wow. That's from my daughter, my granddaughter, and in a tweet that she sent me yesterday. And it just really, you know, I can't tell you how much I am moved by these statements, you know.
Wow. How hard is it? Because that, I mean, it's for your family and it's for legacy. And how hard is it for a humble person to realize that your history and the legacy you're leaving for your family is also actually history for the rest of us because of the types of things that you've accomplished?
Yeah, it's hard to really, you know, take it seriously because you say, well, who am I? How, you know, I'm just Lena's boy, you know? How did I end up in this position, in this world, in this time, that anybody would be interested or that I would have any contribution to these times, you know, the best of times and the worst of times? So it's, you know, it is somewhat amazing. You know, she says, my daughter says, and she says, your life has been like a movie, you know? And she says, there's a movie that you were cast in before you were born. You know, I mean, she wrote this. I was like, Melinda, where did you get this writing talent from? But she said, but it's the truth, you know? It's like a movie when I look at it. It's really, you know, some amazing, and it's due more to the people that I've met and the circumstances I've found myself in. It really has nothing to do, I want to say, it has nothing to do with me per se. It's the people who I met, you know, along the way, including yourself, you know, to be interviewed by you on such a show, you know, your Pulse show. You've done a wonderful job here. And for me to be a part of your legacy, you know, is a humbling experience for me, you know. For Maverick Entertainment to pick up my documentary and spread it to Peacock, you know, and Tubi for Fox, this network, you know, is a humbling experience, you know. And I've been in this business long enough to know that it doesn't have to go like that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I've prayed enough knocks and bumped my head enough to know that these are times that are special and privileged, and I am deeply humbled by this experience.
How much have you seen? And I appreciate sharing your legacy. You want to give me a little bit of shout out? I'll take it. But I appreciate getting a chance to share in your legacy and your accomplishments. How much have you seen the industry evolve and develop over the years? Because you've been in, you know, various roles over time, from, you know, first African-American, you know, on up to, you know, 80 for Brady, like 5 minutes ago, and your documentary just coming out. How much has the industry changed?
Well, for as a whole, it's changed in its attempt at inclusion. That is most apparent now. And where it's most apparent at the attempt of inclusion as a result of finally acknowledging that all that green is green is in the advertising. You see us as people of color and people of all walks of life in ads now, in commercials now. That's where the true test of the change came, because for too long, the advertisement world would not use us as the face of a product for fear of losing customers, as opposed to the recognition of gaining new customers. So that's the change that lets you know that this change may be here for a while, because they've connected the dollar to the inclusionary scenario. You see?
Yeah.
When the buck says, it's good business to include everybody, well, then you have a revolution going on that is sustainable. You see?
Mm-hmm. And you've been in so many different types of roles. Did you see that struggle behind the scenes to kick those doors open? Like, we've had several people on the show. You saw it and did it.
I did it. What are you talking about? Come on, man. Didn't I see it? What do you want to see? You want to see the wounds? What I have to do? What I have to show you? You want to see the knife holes in the back? No, my motto is on the stabs in the back, don't make no new holes in my back, you know. No, I was a part of all that with wonderful soldiers of the times, you know, Sidney Poitier, Harry Belafonte, who we just lost and will never see another like, you know, Jim Brown, who we just lost and will never see another like, you know, a bevy of, you know, Maya Angelou, Bea Richards. We were all on the front lines together, you know, and there were not many of us left from that original brigade.
What was that like? Because you're talking about the fight that you were involved in and kicking down doors. But for people on the outside, we see a lot of the successes. Like, we see all of the things that you've achieved. We don't see that fight.
Yeah, you don't take it for granted that there were no black showrunners. You take it for granted that there were black showrunners, but there were none, you know. You take it for granted that there were great, that the authors of stories were black, you know. But you don't know that there were whites and others writing our stories and putting those words in our mouths from their point of view, you know, and that the fight was, you know, as simple things as, okay, so we all are from the ghetto, right? Okay, so that means we're all poor, right? So that means we're all dirty, you know, and that the apartments that we lived in, you know, had holes in the drapes and so on and so forth. And that you don't know that the fights were as actors and, you know, that we were, hey, no, yeah, I was poor. Yeah, I was from the ghetto, but my mother, she ironed those drapes. She ironed those curtains. We washed those floors. We washed those. So do not put us in a hovel of filth associated with what you think our life was about, you know. So those were simple things that you take for granted now, but no, we had to fight to get that recognition and have our story told with some sort of dignity and some sort of humanity, you know, and to let them know that, yeah, we came in from hard times and hard places, but we were not of a low mind, you know, or low esteem because of those places. We were put in those places, but we carried our pride with us.
Is that another reason why the legend of Glenn Turman, your story, the documentary, sharing that information, again, important to society, not just the legacy of your family, because people don't know and need to hear those stories?
Yes, I think so. I think that what I try to do is let young people who, especially even coming up in the business or thinking of going into the business, realize that they have a responsibility. That there is a path and that there isn't a responsibility that comes with your search for fame, your search for success, your search to tell, be the representatives or the griots who continue to tell our stories. With that comes a certain responsibility, and that ability and paths may sometimes take you into tough times. You know, you may not be able to pay your rent, you know, and you're going to have to make a choice whether you pay your rent or you take this degrading role, you know. And sometimes you have to take the degrading role. And how do you survive that, you know? Or do you not take the degrading role? And what does that consequence mean, you know? So have been on both sides of those issues, you know, and have had to deal with those choices. And I hope that this lets you know, my story lets you know that there's always a choice, you know, that you have. There's always a choice. And it's about who you are and what your character is and who the people around you are. Who instills courage in you, you know? Where do you find that courage? When do you find that courage? When do you find that one word that makes you say, I can do this? You know, who's that one person that says, you can do this, you know?
Do you think, you talked about how when you first got into this, it was, I wanted the quarter to go to the corner store. I wanted to go, as a child, when you got into this, you didn't really get it. And then as you kind of go through the career, you built that legacy, you kicked down some of those doors, you helped change the industry. But through that career, you've continued to work with the next and ongoing generations of people breaking into this industry. Do they get it? Or is there just so much money thrown around now that they're just living on the shoulders of greatness?
I think, unfortunately, I think there's enough controversy of times that have come around and kind of given the generation who thought that they had a clear path, you know, that they could walk the street without being stopped while walking while being black, you know, that has awakened the realities in this new generation, that now they're moving forward with purpose and with more edge and more awareness that it is an ongoing struggle, and that until everybody has the right to human dignity, that nobody has any dignity, you know? And I see an awakening in that area starting to show itself, make more of a presence now than just a few years ago, just not too long ago, you know, where everybody thought, whoopee, 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 you know, look at us. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. How do people, a couple more questions and we will go ahead and wrap it up. How do we get to see, just came out, how do we get to see The Legend of Glenn Turman?
Well, The Legend of Glenn Turman is streaming right now on Peacock and Tubi. Right. And it's being released by Maverick Entertainment. So you just go to the streaming sources and you'll be able to pull it up. I'm proud to say.
We are going to check it out. We end the Pulse every show the same way. And that is with the concept of use your voice for good. No matter who we talk to, we want to know what use your voice for good means to them. So what does it mean to you?
The great powers give you breath. And you think that breath to speak is something new and fresh. But that breath, that air, those vibes, those thoughts have been reverberating around this universe forever. No more prevalent than in the journey and the story of the African American and the African diaspora. You think that our story, you're a journalist, you know, I'm an actor. We are griots and griots, griots and griots are not something that just started here as actor and actor in America. We were brought over on ships as griots and griots, kings and queens, laborers and farmers, smelting iron, iron workers, horsemen. But we were all piled in the ships, all of us, with all of this pedigree and all of this in our DNA. So there's no accident that you are as great as you are on your show, or that I am able to tell stories and weave stories the way that I do. I am of sound mind that it is in my DNA, it is in your DNA, that this was passed on in the blood of our people, so that we are doing and using that breath that has been passed on to us.
Wow. We're going to leave it there. I thank you for the time you spent with us. I thank you for that journey from a young person getting knowledge to a person who continues to pass it on and kicking down doors and sharing stories and struggling so that people who come after you can struggle less. I thank you. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Guys, thank you so much for listening to The Pulse with Bill Anderson today. Today's episode with Mr. Glenn Turman. And I got to tell you, there are not a lot of these shows that surprise me. We do research into the guests. We're aware of their backgrounds. Oftentimes, we talk to them, or at least about them, before the show starts. This one was a little surprising to me just because of the depth of experience that Mr. Turman shared with us. I was aware of his history, but not aware of how historic it actually was. Kicking down doors, being in A Raisin in the Sun, to Cooley High, to The Wire, to A Different World, to House of Lies, to you name it, a longstanding career, 80 for Brady. But along the way, always keeping in mind and proper perspective the doors that he was kicking open and the responsibility that his career came with. So I appreciated it, enjoyed the discussion, and I hope you did as well. I want to remind you that you should just hit the subscribe, the like button, whatever it is on your phone or iPad or computer that reminds you whenever a new episode comes out on Mondays. You'll get a notification. You can also hit me up on social media at BillAFox29. I'm always eager to hear from you. And check out YouTube, some great episodes that you may not have seen. It's been over a year now, and I think back of some of the great people we've had on as guests. I think you will enjoy them. So search The Pulse with Bill Anderson. And I leave you today, as I always do, reminding you that whenever you can, use your voice for good and have a good one.